Hello, District 38, and welcome back to a new episode of our podcast, The Megaphone. I'm Chris Hulse, and I'm the District 38 Director, and we have a really exciting episode today. But before we jump into that part of it, I have a few things that I want to bring up. We may be coming down to the last few months of the Toastmasters year, but we still have a lot going on and a lot to look forward to. And something that is coming up that is big, huge, and coming right here to District 38, if you hadn't heard, District 38 is hosting the Toastmasters International Convention this August. I mean, they could have picked anywhere in the world, right? But Toastmasters from all over the world will be coming to the City of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, from August 20th through the 23rd. And if you haven't gotten your tickets, here's the website to go to for more information. It's toastmasters.org/events/2025-international-convention. And what's going to happen there? Well, the World Championship of Public Speaking is going to happen there, the Hall of Fame, the Golden Gavel, the accredited speaker program speeches, some really great workshops, the business meeting. And for me, the highlight of it is you get to meet people from around the world that are as passionate about Toastmasters as you are. You shouldn't miss it. But would you like a peek behind the curtain at the convention? Would you like to help us host this party in our hometown and get something for volunteering your time? You could join the Host District Helping Hands. And if you commit and perform 10 volunteer hours for the 2025 International Convention, Toastmasters International will take a little more than 40% off your registration price. So if this is something you're interested in, please go to our own district website, tmdistrict38.org. Look for the blue tile on the front page that says International Convention Volunteers Wanted. Click here to learn more. A PDF will pop up, and you'll see a link in the middle of that PDF. Click on it, fill the form out, and someone from World Headquarters will get back to you because they are still looking for volunteers. But before we get to International Convention, in a few short weeks, we'll be having our district's own annual conference. And what's going to happen there? Well, lots of fun activities, lots of workshops, speakers, and chances to see your friends from across the district that you may only see once a year at the conference. And today, I have someone on our podcast who I know will be at our district conference. Why do I know this? She is our keynote speaker at the conference. And leading up to that, I asked her to come onto our podcast and let you have a chance to get to know the person who around the world has become known as the Golden Lady of Toastmasters. She was the international president for the Toastmasters year 2018 to 2019. And we are honored to have on the megaphone, past international president and distinguished Toastmaster, Lark Doley. Hey, Lark, how are you today?
I'm golden, Chris. It's an honor to be with you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. And do you mind if we jump into some questions so our listeners can get to know you a little better?
It sounds like a great idea. Let's go for it.
Okay. So I know some of the Toastmasters around the world and in our district might have heard the story of how you got started in Toastmasters. But so for our listeners, can you start us off there for maybe those that don't know? And beyond that, what has kept you in Toastmasters?
Chris, I'm going to start with your second question, and that is what has kept me in Toastmasters, because I joined Toastmasters in 1990, almost 35 years ago. And what keeps me in this organization is that I continue to learn and grow personally and professionally. But most of all, I stay in Toastmasters because I want to support others in their Toastmasters journey to improve their communication and leadership skills. So that's why I stay. Now let's go back to your first question. How did I come to join Toastmasters? And that's a rather long story. I actually attended my very first Toastmasters meeting more than 7 years before I actually joined Toastmasters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was the Texas Instruments Toastmasters Club where I worked. When I attended their club meeting, they called on me to answer a table topic. Now remember, this is the very first Toastmasters meeting I had ever attended. I had no idea what a table topic was, and they called on me to answer the very first table topic. So I didn't have an example even of what a table topic was. After the meeting, I felt I had failed at the table topic and at Toastmasters. So I never returned. More than 7 years later, a member of a community Toastmasters club invited me to attend his Toastmasters meeting. And I said, absolutely not. I've already failed at that organization. To which he replied, what are you talking about? No one fails at Toastmasters. I told him the story, and he said, if you attend my Toastmasters club meeting, you will not be called upon to speak. And by the way, if anyone does call on you, I will throw myself on the floor in front of you and not allow you to go to the front of the room. Well, with that incentive, I went to his Toastmasters meeting. I truly had hoped that they would call on me to speak. They didn't, and I thoroughly enjoyed the meeting. But even after that, they invited me to return to their club. They told me about an upcoming event. They were actually chartering a bus along with other clubs in the local Austin, Texas area to travel to Dallas, Texas to see David Brooks, local District 56 winner of the International Speech Contest, compete for the World Championship of Public Speaking. I went on the bus, met all these wonderful Toastmasters. Then David Brooks won the World Championship of Public Speaking. I was so inspired by the group and by David Brooks that I joined Toastmasters the week after.
Wow. I love that story. And it, to me, it shows that, you know what, you went back to go do something that you thought you had failed at.
Yeah.
And you did it again. And look how really I would imagine your life has changed. And not only that, you've changed other people's lives as a result.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate that I was invited back. And that's a lesson for all of us to learn. We should be inviting guests to our meetings personally. And if they have any experiences with Toastmasters that are perhaps not the best experience, then to ensure them that at their club meeting, they will have an enjoyable experience.
This is very true. And I remember Morag Matheson, and you may know this story, that I believe she went to three different club meetings, and it wasn't until like the second or third club that they actually acknowledged her. And she said, thank God I went to the second or third one, because if not, I wouldn't be here today. And
yeah,
and so
exactly.
Yeah, we you got to give you got to take those shots, you know, more than once, and that's how you might get, you know, a future world leader. But
and we need to learn to treat our guests as
yes.
valuable people who will benefit from Toastmasters if we simply encourage them and invite them to join. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that is a good lesson, that all of us should be looking for that unfamiliar face who shows up at a meeting and say, hey, you know, my name is Chris. And, you know, how did you, you know, arrive at today's meeting? Like, you know, what did someone point you in our direction, kind of find out, because I think a lot of people show up shy and thinking, oh, no one's going to acknowledge
Absolutely.
me. And yeah, but for the most part, I really hope that we are doing that. And if you're listening and you have a part to play in a meeting, please make sure you're doing that.
Make sure your
But,
guests are welcomed.
Yes, absolutely. So in your introduction, I mentioned that you're known around the world as the Golden Lady. And do you like your title as the Golden Lady? And how did that come about?
I am truly honored to be known as the Golden Lady. It came about when I was running for election as the Lieutenant Governor Marketing, which is now known as the Club Growth Director. My campaign theme was Share the Gold of Toastmasters. At my campaign table, I had Hershey's gold nuggets that I gave out to people who came by the campaign table, and I wore golden outfits with golden shoes. After winning that election, the next year I ran for Lieutenant Governor Education and Training, which is currently the Program Quality Director position. Well, that year was an Olympic year. So Go for the Gold was a perfect campaign that year. I won that election, and then Go for the Gold just stuck. I truly believe that the benefits from Toastmasters are golden. I believe that improved communication leadership skills are priceless, but they don't cost gold in order to achieve them. They will cost your commitment and energy to go through the process of practicing your speeches and fulfilling the roles in meetings, but they won't cost you monetary gold to receive them. They simply require your commitment.
I agree. I agree that the things that you get out of Toastmasters, it's not like you're paying $1 million for it, and it really, but I've actually told people that at least for me, it's gotten me promotions and jobs, which basically relate to money. So because I decided to get into this organization and learn how to communicate better and take more on leadership things to become a better leader, it's resulted in basically gold in my
And your
checking
bank
account.
account. I
Yeah,
agree. And
exactly.
it has for me too, Chris. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I do try to share that with people as much as I can, because I think a lot of people maybe aren't sure what's in it for them, but to me that is what puts food on the table. And if you can parlay what you learn in Toastmasters to getting a better life and a better career, I think that that is what speaks to people a lot of the times. Growing up, did you ever think that you'd be somebody who would be known all over the world? And while you might not be famous, you are known in probably every country that has a Toastmasters club. Was that something you had aspired to be when you were little?
The simplest answer to that question, Chris, is no. Never in my wildest dreams did I expect to be known internationally. And thank you for that question. No one has ever asked me that question. And when I think about that question, I'm very humbled by that question. I aspired to be a teacher when I was young. That was truly the profession of women back then. But I was inspired by the story of Helen Keller and Annie Sullivan, and I wanted to become a teacher. I did become a teacher. I taught algebra in high school, but I have spent most of my life in corporate America. I worked for Texas Instruments as a marketing manager. I founded my own company that was a manufacturing company. Then I went to work for Dell. I worked as a career consultant. And finally, I worked for Maximus as a trainer and then as a training manager. But I never expected any type of international recognition. And when I joined Toastmasters to become a more effective speaker. I actually wanted to raise capital for my company and wanted to be able to speak articulately to investors. And all the investors at that time were male investors. And I was a woman-owned business. So it was very important that I be able to speak articulately. But when I joined Toastmasters, I learned about the leadership opportunities in the organization and truly relished every leadership role that I had. I only served in club area division leadership roles to begin with, then a district director encouraged me to run for higher district leadership roles. And that's when I ran for the trio positions. Again, I stopped in leadership then and had not thought about international leadership until an international director encouraged me to run for international director, which I did. Again, time elapsed. Then the region advisor role became available, and I knew I was interested in that role. I applied and was selected to serve as a region advisor for 2 years. Then, after that, my interest was piqued in what I could do more to serve the organization. And again, some international leaders encouraged me to run for second vice president. I did, and that's what began the trajectory to president of Toastmasters International. But no, I never expected to gain international recognition, never expected to run for international office, but through the encouragement of others, I have. And that's another lesson for all of us to learn. We have a part in encouraging members to achieve their goals and to become leaders of our organization. We never know what that encouragement will do for them, but it could result in them becoming an international president.
Absolutely. And I loved hearing you say that because I was thinking about not even just my own leadership journey, but other people. And that's why I try to encourage people when you see talent, either people who might have some opportunities to make themselves better, or you really do see, wow, you have this talent that other people would need to see. Sometimes they need that push, that encouragement. And I noticed that the different levels of leadership, the more people somebody can help, the greater we all become because they get better, other people get better. And to me, that's really one of the things that Toastmasters is all about.
Thank you for doing that, Chris. And we all need to do that.
Yep, I agree. So, what is something since you, in your role as international president, I imagine you saw different things that not only just clubs but people did in different cultures and different countries. What's something that you remember that maybe each of us could apply, that's something important that could be useful in leadership no matter what? Like either a leadership lesson or a cultural lesson, something that you really took away when you were international president.
Mike Storkey was the first international president who gave me the opportunity to truly travel globally. And as you said, I have experienced firsthand the different cultures around our globe and the unique perspectives of members from around the world. What I learned from all of those travels is that each club is unique, each district is unique, each region is unique. And in order for us to lead, we need to ask why. So Simon Sinek tells us that first ask why, then ask how, then ask what. And I absolutely agree with that. How are the decisions that we make at the international level going to impact our organization globally? But at every level of leadership, the first question we need to ask is why? Why should we even consider this question, this decision? Why? And then if we decide that it is important, that this is an important subject, then how are we going to make the best decision? And what will that decision be? So I believe in leadership, we first have to ask why. We have to listen to the answers. We have to listen to the different perspectives. We have to listen for understanding. When I think about the most powerful communication tool that we have, it's listening. And we talk about that in Toastmasters. We talk about listening, thinking, and then responding. And I will tell you, this is still the most difficult principle that I have. It's hard for me to listen, think, and then speak. But it is so powerful. And as leaders, it's even more imperative that we do that. So we need to ask questions and start with why, and then we need to listen to the answers, listen to the different perspectives so that we can make the best informed decisions for our in our work environment and for our organization.
I really like that answer because I can so relate to what you just said. I still struggle, even 10 years in. I'm pretty good at giving speeches, writing them, and delivering them. I still struggle with listening because to me, the harder part is being an evaluator because what do you have to do to evaluate? You have to listen. And not only that, if you're the one that gave the speech, you have to listen for that feedback. And I've gotten better in Toastmasters at listening and doing those roles, but I still think there's a little bit of a disconnect on applying that to life, to my career. And so I'm getting better at that, but I would have never thought that that would be the harder part. I would have always thought, oh, it's going to be hard for me to get up and give a speech. Oh, no, that came somewhat naturally, but I think sometimes because we speak so much in Toastmasters, it's hard to basically be quiet and listen. And I think for a lot of people, I see a little bit of struggle there. But I like what you said, and I think once we start listening more, that is really where the lessons come into play of, oh, okay, because I'm hearing what they're saying, and if I can be a tool for change in that, then really things are going to transform. So I'm glad that you said that way. I'm really going to take that to heart. So thank you.
Welcome.
What, in your opinion, is something that you feel that each one of us, whether we're a club member, and at the end of the day, we're all club members,
That's right.
or on the board of directors. What's something that basically someone in each of those roles can do to ensure that Toastmasters goes on for another 100 years?
We had a fantastic centennial celebration, didn't we?
We did.
But absolutely, I want our future to be a bright one. And when I think about what each of us can do, the very first thing is that we are each personal ambassadors of our organization. It's interesting, whenever Toastmasters sends out press releases for international directors, international officers, they always talk about the fact that we are ambassadors for the organization. Well, we're not only ambassadors at the international level, but literally at the local club level, we are ambassadors for our organization. And we need to be the ones to invite guests to our meetings. We need to promote Toastmasters everywhere. We can promote Toastmasters in an elevator, at a restaurant, at a nonprofit organization, at work. We can promote Toastmasters everywhere we go, and we should. If we've gained value from this organization, then we should talk it up. We should talk about the benefits we gain from Toastmasters. So to me, that's the first. Secondly, social media. If you are active on social media, then again, talk up Toastmasters on social media. Express what you've learned and what you've gained from Toastmasters. And to your point, Chris, if you have received a promotion at work and you believe that Toastmasters had an impact on that, then say that on your social media posts. Talk about your club, invite people to your club meetings, encourage them to attend the district conference, the international convention. So, social media is another opportunity for us. And when I think about social media, I think about the vice president's public relations of each of our clubs. I think about the public relations manager of our districts and your public relations manager. Tiffany Beltran is a perfect example of making an impact in social media for us to increase the visibility of our organization. So social media is another opportunity for us. Mentoring is a third opportunity for us. I believe that each of us tenured members should mentor new members, but we can also mentor new leaders. So whatever level of leadership we have attained, let's mentor those leaders. When I think about the international level, I think about the fact that our board of directors needs to do as Stephen Covey has said, and that is keep the main thing the main thing. We suffered a great deal during the pandemic, and unfortunately, we have not recovered from that. So at the international level, I think that our board of directors needs to focus on what are the root causes of our continued loss of members and loss of clubs, and focus on actions, decisions that they need to take in order to support our clubs, our districts in recovering from the losses that started with the pandemic. So I hope that at the international level, we will think about the main thing and do whatever we can to make it easier for guests to join clubs, make it easier to charter clubs, to market our organization, to publicize our organization in global ways, and again, to encourage the club VP of public relations and the district public relations managers to publicize and market our organization so that more and more people can gain the golden benefits of improved communication and leadership skills.
Yes, and one piece of advice that I've always heard is no matter what level of leadership you get to, you should always have a mentor, because you don't know what you don't know. And so if someone can help you through that and be that person you can ask a question to without fear of judgment or what have you, it's going to help you be a better leader. And you were basically saying this, if you were the one mentoring, I feel like that makes you a better leader as well.
Oh, I totally agree. And we had mentors at the international level, International Board of Directors, but I absolutely agree that there are mentoring opportunities, club, area, division, district, region, throughout our organization.
Yep. That's one thing to remember, that no matter where you go in this organization, someone is here to help you out.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, I've heard that you like lighthouses, and I'm kind of fascinated by that, because I actually was married at a lighthouse, and I now, whenever I'm near a lighthouse, I try to go visit it. And, you know, I have a lot of lighthouse tchotchkes basically in my house. So whenever I hear somebody else likes lighthouses, it fascinates me. So Lark, why are lighthouses special to you?
I wish I'd been married at a lighthouse. I was married aboard the flagship Texas, though, on Lake Travis.
That's cool.
But the story of the lighthouse is that my father-in-law, Arthur, served in the Royal Navy in World War II. My husband hailed from Nottingham, England, and of course, so did his father. But my father-in-law, Arthur, loved anything nautical, and he loved to go on bodies of water. When we went to Boston, when we went to San Francisco, he always had to cruise the bays there, right? Because he loved anything that had to do with water and nautical aspects. We began collecting memorabilia for him when he moved to Texas to live with us. We had a print of Portland Head Main Lighthouse above his bed. Unfortunately, Arthur died after only living with us for 3 years. After his death, we visited Portland Head Main Lighthouse and were awestruck by the beauty of that lighthouse. We returned to Logan Airport to take our flight back from Boston to Austin, Texas, and went into the bookstore and bought a book on lighthouses. While we were looking through the book, my husband said, "What do you think about building a lighthouse home in Arthur's honor?" That's what planted the seed for my lighthouse home, where I reside to this day, almost 20 years after we finished completion of it. Unfortunately, my husband died in 2014. He was the general contractor for the house. And so now my lighthouse home stands not only in honor of Arthur Storer, my dear father-in-law, but also in honor of my husband who built it, Roger Storer.
Number one, I'm so sorry to hear about your husband, but that, what a legacy. Like, wow, I'm that story's going to stick with me a long time because, like I said, I'm fascinated with lighthouses. So the fact that you got to live in a lighthouse, wow, like that's not many people can say that.
Well, Chris,
And
you'll have
so
to come visit and stay at at Arthur's Lighthouse
absolutely, I will
in
take you up
Texas.
on that. Yeah, 'cause and I forget how I've probably been to several hundred lighthouses by this point. But you know what? Anytime that you can visit a lighthouse and something about it speaks to you personally, like that, those are the lighthouses you remember.
I
And
agree.
there's something too where I like the metaphor, the concept of lighthouses because they shine a light. They help ships and people when they're lost and show them, really show them how to get to where they're going. And yeah, I it's a wonder I you li use lighthouse as the conference theme this year instead of you have a voice. But you know, there might be future opportunities to have a theme for something, so you never know. So maybe I'll incorporate the lighthouse into that. But thank you for sharing that story. That means a lot.
You're welcome.
Well, Lark, I honestly feel I could keep talking to you a lot longer than the half an hour that we've been talking today. But the good thing is you're going to be at our District 38 conference starting April 25th, and I hope to get to talk to you there. But I also want to give opportunity for everybody else that's at the conference to get to know you as well. So at this point, any last parting words for our listeners?
I hope to meet all of the listeners at the District 38 conference next weekend, October the 25th to the 27th. So please come join us. April 25th to
April,
27th. Yeah, please come join us.
yeah. And I was going to say, I never know what month it is anyway, because I, you know, when you're in Toastmasters, it's kind of like, what's going on? What's in, and it's more like the date than the month. But but yeah, April 25th, Lark's going to be at the conference. So if you know you're lucky enough to be there, you're going to get to meet her. And so, Lark, thank you so much for being a part of our podcast today. I really appreciate you coming on today and speaking to all of us.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
And with that, I'm Chris Halson. If you have a story to share, or you know someone who does, and you or them would like to be one of our future voices on the Megaphone, please send an email to the District Trio at top three. That's the number three. So TOP3 at tmdistrict38.org. Until next time, remember, you have a voice, so make sure you use it. And if you want to project that voice, make sure you grab the megaphone.